Good morning. Welcome to Morning Manna Podcast. Let's pray and say, Lord, thank you, God, that you are omniscient, omnipresent. God, that we just have a God that we can so rely on. And as we look into your word this morning, Lord, and we see your hand working in and through people, Lord, and with no other explanation other than your will be done. And so, God, we want to be people who are about doing your will. And so help us just to learn and understand from the scripture this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So last time we were together, we began a new series through the Minor Prophets, and we started in the book of Hosea. And last time, if you recall, we covered a lot of the history of the book, and I don't want to spend a lot of time reviewing that. You can look it up on the archives and any of our online platforms. But we're going to pick up this morning in Hosea chapter 1, starting in verse 2. And it says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, that the Lord said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. Now, there's this idea that's woven throughout Scripture, beginning all the way back in Genesis, about spiritual adultery. The first commandment is pretty specific. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Our God is a jealous God. God's people are called to love him uniquely and only. Don't go looking for other gods, idols, things to worship, things to put into your life. That's spiritual flirtation or spiritual adultery. And the nation of Israel is soon going to go into captivity. Hosea is going to predict it. Hosea, with his own eyes, is going to see it. The northern kingdom in 722 BC by the Assyrians is going to be taken captive. But before that happens, as is always the case, God sends prophets to warn. The prophet Hosea was prophesying, remember, to the northern kingdom of Israel. And God tells him to do this. He allows him to love and to marry Gomer. That's the wife of Hosea. But telling him in advance that she's going to cheat on him. She's going to have children. And I mean, that doesn't sound very appealing to anyone, but sometimes it's through obedience that matters, not our own comfort. In verse 3, it says, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Now, Jezreel means to sow or scatter. And Hosea, God is saying, I want you to do something very difficult. I want you to go ahead and marry Gomer. You love her, but understand something. You're going to have children, and she's going to leave you for other men. You're going to have children, and I'm going to tell you what to name the children. Because of all of this, it's a spectacle of how I have dealt and will deal with my people. And all the names of your children will mean something very significant. So he went to play the part of an illustration of the Lord God, Hosea did, and Gomer was to play the part of Israel. Now, some don't believe this is a literal story, but an allegory. John Calvin, I'm sure you've heard of him, was one who didn't believe that Hosea was an actual story, because he said, God, being the God of love, would never command one of his children to do something like this. This is kind of a difficult act of obedience, to marry somebody who would leave him and become a harlot. Well, think through that statement in light of the totality of Scripture. That's a shallow theology that says God is always going to bring you into these places where you feel good and happy and smiles all the time with no difficulties. When Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he said this. He said, that I may know him. And get this, and the fellowship of his sufferings, as well as the power of his resurrection, being made conformable even unto his death. Hosea would feel in a sense what God felt when the people of Israel left him. And in that sense, he would be brought closer to the Lord in that unusual but intimate kind of fellowship, the fellowship of God's sufferings. God told him to do it. I take it literally, and I believe Hosea did it. The firstborn, the name means scattered, but now I don't know for sure, but maybe when Hosea heard the first name of the child, he didn't quite understand, or maybe he thought God made a mistake because Israel and Jezreel, speaking in Hebrew, were spelt and sound almost identically, phonetically. They sound and look very similar. Jezreel means scattered to the wind. And he says, I'm going to take Israel and scatter them. I'm going to take my people and sow them and scatter them. And the wind will be the Assyrians who did come down, like we said in 722 BC. Hosea predicted it. And he saw it. Jezreel, in a little while, I'm going to avenge the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now we have to go back in history again when there was a king on the throne of the northern kingdom, Ahab, and his wife was Mrs. Wicked, Jezebel. We remember her really worse than he was. Well, one of the stories is there was this guy in the valley of Esdraelon, south of Mount Carmel, where the valley of Jezreel is, who had this vineyard, and his name was Naboth, and Ahab sort of threw a tantrum and said, I want that field, I really want it. So he offered a deal, a land exchange for it. He wanted to buy it from Naboth. Naboth refused. Ahab, the king, went home. He told his wife Jezebel, pouting, I don't know what to do. He wouldn't take the deal. So she advised him, well, just kill him and seize it. Take it for yourself. And so he did it. And when he did, God pronounced doom and vengeance that would come upon the house of Ahab and his offspring, his descendants, in the valley of Jezreel. Now later, when Ahab went out to battle with King Jehoshaphat of Judah, King Ahab was killed in this random arrow from a soldier hit him between the flaps of his armor, and it killed him. It was a smart bomb from God directing that arrow, and boom, right into him, and he died. And then Jehu came on the scene and took over and came to the city where Jezebel was and said, is there anyone for me? Because she was up in the window and a couple of guys showed their faces, and he said, throw her down. And they threw her down and blood spattered all over the ground. Nice story to start your morning. But then he goes to Samaria and he sent letters to Samaria, capital of the northern kingdom, and said, I know in your city you have 70 sons of the king of King Ahab. Take any one of them, put him on the throne, because I'm going to go down and you're going to build an army and fight me. And they said, nobody on the throne is going to be able to amass an army and command loyalty to defeat you, so we'll surrender. Tell us what to do and we'll comply. He said, well, if you're really loyal, take 70 sons of Ahab, cut off their heads, put their heads in a basket, and deliver the basket to me in Jezreel. And they did it. It was a bloody, gruesome act. Yes, in one sense, Jehu, who was the rod of punishment used by the Lord in avenging Naboth on the house of Ahab. But the manner that he did it, the arrogance of the heart, demanded a retribution. Now the Lord says, that's not the way to do it. I'm going to avenge, he says, on the house of Jehu in the valley of Jezreel. And now Jeroboam II, the king of Israel, he was of the house of Jehu, and he's the last king that occupies that northern throne when the Assyrians come in. By the Assyrians, God is going to bring vengeance upon Jehu. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, that you move in ways we don't understand. Thank you, God, that we can put our faith in you, knowing that you live outside of time, and just put our faith in what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, everybody.